This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Milwaukee Bucks are in charge of this series now. We learned that last night. Chris Middleton.
To the three-point line, to the free throw line, fades to the right, shoots and hits again. A 20-point fourth quarter for Chris Middleton.
Been on the floor with him, and all year long he's been making big-time plays for us, man. Man, tonight he delivered like no other, man. I think I don't know how many points he had in the fourth quarter. I know it was 20-something for sure.
20 on the nose.
Ooh-wee. He was smoking hot, man. It was crazy. Watch.
Yeah. Congrats to Offset and Cardi.
Yeah.
Cardi went on BET to BET Awards and revealed that she has a bun in the oven.
How about that? You know what I'm saying?
So, way to go, Offset. More child support for you in the future.
I was a little surprised that was coming during that. But, hey, yeah. God bless him.
Got the three see-through navel, you know what I'm saying, going through it. So, congrats to that.
I tell you what, Chris Middleton, probably the only guy who had a better weekend.
Yeah.
Because he outscored the Hawks 20-17 in the fourth quarter last night, and now the Bucks are in control. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and of course, all guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We're starting right out of the gate with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Chris Middleton was absolutely phenomenal last night. And I'm the one that's sitting here last week knocking him and saying, maybe he's a number two. He's not a great number two. I should apologize for absolutely nothing. It was one game. It was one game. But, man, I mean, it was almost in tandem, Bart, where you have Trae Young come back into the game with the bad ankle and Chris Middleton start to take over. The Hawks were up 7 with 7 minutes left, and then it was the Middleton show rest of the way. Yep.
And then when you look at it, they had some bad possessions where they had some turnovers. They were trying to steal some minutes. Sweet Lou was in there trying to facilitate. He was doing a decent job. Capella was out, and they made a little mini run. And it just looked like Trae Young, when he came back, had nothing. And, you know, that's one of those things. It's, the referee is part of the course. He's part of the court. Part of the court. You know, black Converse, black baseline, not good for being able to pick up where the hell he's at. And it's crazy because the referee didn't even react to it. So it's just one of those things where he rolled the ankle and he has these ankle braces on. So it seemed like, man.
It looks like he's got full on air.
Yeah, air cast, exactly. Because they have plastic on the outside. I'm like, bro, how can you twist your ankle with all that? How can you twist your ankle to that extent? Like, for most football players that's out there, we get our ankle spatted on the outside because it makes the shoe part of the ankle. What happens is a lot of these basketball players, they tape inside and they're still rolling the ankle. So he has the braces and I'm sure he's taped underneath. But man, was that the most pivotal play of the game? Oh, that was the turning point.
No question.
And I don't know where you go from here, because is it going to be healed up by game 7? That game was so important. 2-2 is so much different than 3-1, because if it's 2-2, then it makes it seem like, okay, yeah, I know we stole one at their home court. They stole one at our home court. But now we'll see if the Bucks have that killer instinct, if Giannis has that killer instinct. Chris Middleton was due because he was struggling, and he showed you at times he can be the alpha male, because we understand that Giannis isn't willing to be able to stay aggressive the entire game because simply he doesn't have the skill set of Chris Middleton. Giannis was in his bucket.
Still got favorable matchups, and he's still shooting fadeaway jump shots, and that'll drive you nuts. But with Young, I mean, that's everything for the Hawks. It's their only chance. Here he is on how he feels after the game.
It's sore right now. It's hurting. It's frustrating. Yeah, I mean, it's hurting a little bit, and it's sore. I got some treatment on. I'm going to go get some more in the morning. Yeah, I mean, that's all I can do right now is to get treatment. And then, yeah, when I came back in, it was just kind of sore, and I made me mad. I couldn't really go as fast as I wanted to. And then when I did, it hurt. So just got to get treatment, and hopefully it feels better for next game.
And look, it's going to be very dicey when it comes to an injury like that, because you know it's going to feel much worse today. And how are they going to be able to go from there? Here's Nate McMillan on how it impacted the whole situation.
He tweaked his ankle, and of course, we had to go with some other options. But again, I thought we got some open looks in the fourth quarter. Didn't knock down those shots. They did a good job of making us pay when we didn't get a basket in that fourth quarter. Middleton seemed like he was hitting everything. Giannis did a good job of keeping that momentum for those guys. And then when they miss, they got a couple offensive rebounds that were big.
And what would bother me, too, is with Middleton, like most of those shots were open shots.
Yeah, he shot over a couple of the elbow. He got into his bag where he just made like, what, 8 straight points. But really what killed him, in my opinion, Bobby Portis. Mm. His ability to play big, his ability to hit shots, and to be able to contribute to the tune of 15. He was plus 17, but he added 15. But there were pivotal times. And they were off offensive rebounds, the ball falling to him. And he has a favorable matchup because he is big. He didn't play much last series. But in the words of Kobe Bryant, Trae Young was playing real light skin. That's what we say in the hood. You playing real Chico and El DeBarge right there. Because listen, if you want to be considered one of the greats, when you tweak something as minor as your, this ain't a Kyrie jumping up in the air, coming down, landing on Giannis' foot. This is him stepping back in a baby roll with ankle braces on. I've seen the greatest little man ever tweak his ankle and put 25 in the bucket the same quarter Isaiah Thomas did that, right? Where was the grit? Where was the toughness? I don't want to hear about it's a little sore. I want to say, hey, bend over, spread them. That's all I want to hear. Spread them. Go in the back, spread them, and get that shot in the ass and get back out there. And you'll worry about how it feels tomorrow. I don't want to hear it was a little sore. And when I tried to run, man, you great athletes are supposed to be able to lock in. And for everybody out there, like, oh, Bart's talking to the other football talk. I played with a broke hand that I broke the first thing. I played with no ligament in my toe. Don't give me this, oh, he's basketball. Basketball is different. Are you kidding me? He should have gritted through that, and he should be having some criticism.
Well, maybe he's going to learn the lesson the hard way and play it.
It's too late. It's too late.
Is it too late if they get the next one?
It's too late because this was pivotal.
Yeah, well, look, Milwaukee got it.
They
back.
Needed you now. You could have said, hey, man, we're up. Shoot it up. Do whatever we got to do. Go in the back. Get the shot. Come out. Tear some stuff. Hurt it. And tell, hey, guys, I need y'all to get me to the finish line.
Well, what was pivotal is the fact that going into Game 5 tonight, the Phoenix Suns are in control. As I told you, they are in control. Now, granted,
that was a tough game.
It was a very, very tough game. I mean, there was a period that it was like chewing on tinfoil to watch parts of that game because neither team could score for quite some time.
Great defense.
Bart, Chris Paul is amazing. And you are the first person, by the way, that I thought of not 5 minutes into that game as they are running up and down the floor with Chris Paul and they are in the fast break with Chris Paul. Oh, Chris Paul can't get in the fast break anymore. It's only half court for him. Well, they're putting up 20 points in the first 5 minutes.
Well, Chris Paul recognized that he had to speed the tempo up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what great leaders do, right? He realized, man, I'm playing too slow.
But it's not like they couldn't do it with him.
I didn't say they couldn't. I say what he has been the entire playoffs. And he was able to hit them shots from the elbow. And listen, if I'm Chris Paul, I'm smelling it.
Yeah.
I'm smelling it because I am not afraid of Milwaukee. But Milwaukee isn't going to be a walkthrough, you know what I mean? Because I wonder if they go Giannis. Well, listen, I'm looking too far ahead.
You got to take care of this tonight.
Yeah, you got to take care of this. And listen, we know that the Clippers aren't going to go quietly into the night. What is surprising is that, hey, the same way I'm criticizing Trey Trizzle, I mean, Kawhi, where you at? I mean, we watched James Harden come out there.
All I can tell you about Kawhi is this. We heard it earlier in the series from Jeff Van Gundy. Kawhi is not on the bench. He is upstairs in a suite, which makes me think they don't want anybody to see Kawhi. They want him out of
eyesight.
Whoa,
stop. Pause. For everybody out there, he has a 7-Eleven logo on it. You cannot wear a 7-Eleven because 7-Eleven is operating and working and open 7 days a week, 365, 366 on a leap year, Kawhi. That's false advertisement, Claw.
Maybe it's more like ShopRite. Not open 24/7. No knock on them. Anyway, point is, though, he's sitting upstairs. I think that ACL is torn, and I don't think he can play all postseason because otherwise,
we
haven't even heard hints of him being able to go here. And with that being the case, I just don't see a way they're going to get it done tonight. I really, and I know, I understand how many times we have ruled them dead when they have not been dead.
I said they're losing six because they're still able to affect Booker, PG, like, listen, this is an opportunity where they can go out and they're going to play with their backs against the wall, and it is hard to close out a team with pride and a good team when you naturally are going to take your foot off the gas just a little bit. Now, Chris Paul understands, right? Because what he didn't want to talk about after the game was 3-1. You want to know why he didn't want to talk about 3-1?
Because
when he was with the beard, he was 3-1, and he went home barbecue chicken.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Chris Paul understands that, but it's so hard for Devin Booker, first time in the playoffs, to understand that. It is so hard for Ayton to understand that. It's hard for Bridges and Paige to understand that. Everybody on the Clippers understand that. Now, the Clippers can feel a little bit better because they have a built-in excuse. They lost arguably a top five player in the league. So they're going to play free. And I think Phoenix plays a little tight. So that's why I think it goes to six. And then Phoenix will smell that, hey, we don't want to go to a game seven. And they get them out of there.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Does Trae Young just frankly need to tough this out and
quit acting light-skinned? People in my hood understand what that means. He acting real pretty Ricky right now. I need him to get grimy.
And then can Chris Paul and the Suns wrap this up tonight? 888-SAY-ESPN. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We shift to some baseball.
No.
Yes.
Where's Chris Canty at? I want to look Chris Canty in the eyes, man.
Chris Canty being a massive Yankee fan.
Yes, because how great is it that we have the Mets on this side who are like neck and neck, Mets, Jets, Yankees, Giants.
Yep.
Oh, the tide is a turning around here in New York City.
Well, the Yankees just got roasted over the weekend by the Red Sox. They have lost all six games to them,
Chris,
this season.
Roasted?
Roasted.
Slow roasted or brick oven roasted? Which kind? Was,
any which way. Take a pick. Because yesterday, Gerrit Cole was awful.
Not the white whale.
First pitch out of the ballpark. First pitch. Hanging pitches left and right to J.D. Martinez. You blink. Rafael Devers planted one into right center field. It's 4-0 before you blink. And for Cole, he knew right away that he let the team down.
I think everybody was well aware of the importance of the game. It's a pretty brutal feeling, you know, to let the team down like that. So, you know, obviously wanted to come out and be able to give us a good chance to win and wasn't able to do that today.
That was the Garrett Invitational because they were teeing off.
I want my money back. False advertising. You lied to me. It was Spider Tacky 3000. See, what happens is we all know J.D. Davis a couple years ago started experiencing with the launch angle. What happens when you hang that hanging slider, that hanging fastball, which Cole always wants to come with the Terminator. Remember, he's a guy that gives up home runs early in games because he tries to muscle it past you before he goes to his secondary stuff. And I tell you what, man, J.D. Davis laid into one. You know what I'm saying? And he renamed it too, by the way.
And it's
Parkman
not even,
style.
Bart, it's not even just that. It's not even the pitching getting lit up and the hitting not being remotely consistent enough. It's dumb mistakes they make all over the field. They make bad base running errors. They make bad fielding errors. They're not hitting the cutoff, man. They're doing an awful lot of stuff wrong.
Chris. We've been together for a long time. Let's remind the people, right, that me and you worked together. We had our own show at another place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the same stuff. How they don't move runners over, how they don't put the ball in play, how they're boom or bust. And finally, they can't hit the home runs. They aren't getting the home runs. You know what I'm saying? So you're looking at two runs from the Yankees with all this offense, LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres, who was supposed to be the next Tatis. He was supposed to be Tatis.
Judge
was supposed to be pushing Trout as the best baseball player all around in baseball.
Judge had a chance yesterday. Bases loaded, popped up. Gleyber Torres hasn't been anywhere near. The only guy that's actually started to come back was Gary Sanchez, and he didn't do anything this weekend. And look, Chris, all the way around, Bart, you know what it reminds me of? When you are trying to get your lawnmower started, okay? You're at home. You're pulling that cord, you keep ripping that cord, and then you get the little hints like maybe, all right, maybe we're getting there. You keep pulling that cord, and it gives you little hints like you're going to get going, and then it doesn't. And ultimately, you have to start to believe at some point that you got to change something, whether it's the fuel mix, whether it's a new carburetor, whether it's the spark plug, to get this thing working. because if you just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, you're going to be nothing but frustrated.
So doing the same thing and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity.
Mm.
And the right now, the Yankees are insane. And listen, I don't know if it can be fixed this year. And if it can't be fixed this year, man, the people that put this squad together and the Greek squad, the analytics squad, who say, hey, these are the type of hitters and keeping on to Sanchez.
Pocket protector
yeah,
patrol.
When he had protection, right, when they had opportunity to maybe move him for something and understand that, hey, man, maybe we could have got Realmuto. We could have traded some pieces and got us a true catcher. Somebody has to answer for that. The standards are high here in Yankee Town. More championships than any organization in sports. And they haven't been to a World Series in 12 years, which is like leap years, light years in Yankees in Yankee fandom. It is a group of kids that think the Yankees are just a decent baseball team. Doesn't understand that this is supposed to be one of the most dominant franchises in all of sports. One of the most decorated. The expectations are so high, and they can't live up to them. And either Cashman or Boone is going to have to jump the plank, the plank.
This is the thing. I don't know how you look at the manager right now and say it's his fault when so much of what goes wrong has to do with how the team's constructed. And, Bart, the big leagues, that's not where you learn. You learn in the minor leagues. You learn how to be a good base runner in the minor leagues. You learn how to hit the cutoff man in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
You learn, I mean, Gleyber yesterday is in a spot where he is nowhere near where he needs to be to cut off a throw, and it turns into base runners moving up. And it's the dumb stuff like that that absolutely has to drive a manager insane. Here's Aaron Boone.
Well, I mean, we got to find a way. I mean, this is – you know, the inconsistencies of, you know, the two steps forward, you know, come up here in a big weekend series, you know, and take a giant step back. You know, that inconsistency has kind of defined us so far, and we got to find a way to be more consistent. You know, ultimately, you know, we expect way more out of ourselves. You know, I know the fan base expects more. And, you know, to come up here and have a disappointing weekend against a team that we're trying to chase down is frustrating.
Look, they have now put themselves, Bart, 6.5 behind in the division and 5.5 in the wild card. Think about that for a second. Again, 6.5 out in the division.
Still early.
And 5.5 in the wild card. You can keep saying that year after year after year. It's still early. But I know is I keep pulling that cord. And that engine ain't turning over.
They always get an attorney, right? They always get an attorney, but they we know they have a
ceiling. I don't know about this year, man.
I know. What I'm saying is we know they have a ceiling. So, right, they've always won over 100 underneath Boone, first manager to start his career with, you know, wins over 100 triple digits, right?
Mm.
I don't know if that's obtainable this year. And if that's not obtainable, then that means that this team is moving backwards. And they have to listen. They have some decisions to make. Judge is coming up. Big decision.
Sanchez is coming up.
Big decisions. Like, they just paid Chapman again, right? And Gerrit Cole, I'm keeping my eye on him. Because ever since this whole let's check for stuff, Donaldson style, I don't know if he's what we thought he was when we gave him $300
million. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Call in, New York, even though we a national show.
Well, they're all calling in on this, on the basketball, on Yankees, Red Sox, whatever they want, because we're going to hit calls in moments next. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Chris Carlin, along with Bart Scott. Up next, is there now a pressure for the Yankees to shake this up? We will discuss all of it. In moments, Bart and Hahn is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. That's next. Carlin and Bart on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Well, if they need changes, the question is, what changes for the Yankees? Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Kendrick Perkins, top of next hour, to talk about all going on with the NBA playoffs right now. But this is the problem, and the part of why so many people feel like the Yankee fan and the Yankees themselves are so spoiled, and it's understandable. Well, we'll just make a change. Well, we'll just go and make a trade. And there's been the issue of the luxury tax threshold. They don't want to go over that again. That's understandable. When you're spending $210 million and you got the Rays who are spending $60 and they're kicking your butt all over the place, that's a tough pill to swallow.
But who does that fall on?
Yeah, well, it falls on the guy that constructs the team. But in the meantime, here's Aaron Boone on his team kind of waiting to see if somebody's going to make a change.
Well, I mean, we got to find a way. I mean, this is, you know, the inconsistencies of, you know, the two steps forward, you know, come up here in a big weekend series, you know, and take a giant step back. You know, that inconsistency has kind of defined us so far, and we got to find a way to be more consistent. You know, ultimately, you know, we expect way more out of ourselves. You know, I know the fan base expects more, and, you know, to come up here and have a disappointing weekend against a team that we're trying to chase down is frustrating. Well, we can't wait around for that, Kenny. We have the people in that room to get this done, and we expect more of it ourselves. We've got to play better. We've got to be more consistent in every area, starting with, you know, me leading this group. We can't wait and look around for, you know, a magic move to make us better. The bottom line is we have a lot of really talented people in that room, capable of a lot. And frankly, it's been there a fair amount, but we've got to be more consistent if we're going to be the team we expect.
So when you haven't been that, and it's been 2 years, Bart, when you're on a team that's inconsistent,
yeah,
how do you find your way to, and you know that you are better than you play? What is the problem? What is the mental problem there that exists?
I think it's a philosophy problem, right? Because yes, individually, they have a great collection of talented baseball players, but they don't complement each other well as a team. And you have to find the pieces that work well together. I mean, for years we talked about the Mets and their inability to be able to put points up for Jacob deGrom. You know, what did they do? They went out and they tried to find some guys that can be able to do it. Some things have to come organically from your farm system. Some things you have to go out and spend money on. And you have to be willing to spend the money. And in this town, now the Mets are acting more like the Yankees than the Yankees are because of Cohen, because of the influx of cash. But also now they're going to be competing for the same players. And right now, if you're a player that's considering moving to New York, I think you think that the team with the most upside are the Mets.
Well, when I look at the hole getting deeper, and it's 6.5 and it's 5.5. How much deeper? We haven't hit July yet. You still have another month before the deadline.
Yeah.
And I know what Brian Cashman said earlier in the month. We are going to do everything we can to make sure that we stay into this. But if this gets bad over the next couple of weeks, which it's more than capable of happening, Bart, you got to be in sell-off mode. And you have those two guys that we just mentioned. Sanchez and Judge. And at the end of next year, they're both free agents. You can't sit here and tell me that if Sanchez plays well over the next few weeks, that a power-hitting catcher,
right,
who you don't know if you're going to sign long-term,
right,
and a power-hitting outfielder who, to be honest,
Mr.
you
Glass.
Don't know that you're going to sign long-term because how long is he going to be an outfielder?
Right.
Then you're going to have two DHs because you're stuck with Stanton and he's injury-prone.
Right.
Why wouldn't you turn around and maximize those guys in a return?
You know, it may be time to fly the weather kite out there, right? It may be time for us as New Yorkers.
It's going to be a tough look, but it may be time.
It might be time for us to put it out there so that they have to respond and answer these questions publicly. And we'll see what they feel. You fly the weather kite, see how it's going to be perceived,
which
how it's going to be taken.
Blow.
Right.
Yep.
Because at this point, I know that Yankee fans around here in the New York area love Judge, but they even themselves have to admit that it's been mixed reviews. Right after hitting over 50 homers early in his career, he hasn't been able to be available. And the best ability is availability. And at some point, I think you have to make that decision between who's going to be your young future star. I think that you still give Gleyber Torres an opportunity to prove that he can be that star because you have time left on his contract before you have to address it. Judge, do you want to be stuck with another aging, often injured outfielder? And you're going to have to give him $300 million.
Yeah.
You can't give him less than what you've given a guy that you imported. This is homegrown, baby bomber, farm system. So if he's not going to take less than $300 million.
Only problem is he's older.
And that's my point.
Yeah, you can't give him that 10-year deal and justify that.
It's just like having the A-Rod deal all over again.
It'd
be like Pujols all over again.
Absolutely. It is all a complete mess. This MLB Weekend Recap brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. We got calls. We'll take calls on Yankees and Red Sox as well. 888-SAY-ESPN. We've got some right now. Checking in on the NBA playoffs as it is. Let's check in with Dan in Wisconsin up first. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Real quick, I'm a humongous Bucks fan, and Bart was mentioning earlier about how Bobby Portis was being the game changer in Game 3. I noticed that Coach Bud was keeping P.J. Tucker in the Nets series to primarily guard Kevin Durant. But since the Hawks don't have a dynamic player like him, besides Trae Young, would you keep Holiday on Trae Young and switch out P.J. Tucker with Bobby Portis, or do you think having that depth on the bench is more important?
Well, I like P.J. coming off the bench. In this series, it's on different people. In the Nets series, it was on Tucker because he really doesn't offer you much as far as a offensive repertoire. You know what I mean? He can sit in the corner and hit corner threes, but he's not a guy that can facilitate and create. Where you think about Portis, his size and his length and his ability to get buckets give you the opportunity to make sure that you open the floor up for Giannis, which is what you need. You can't have a guy like Tucker where guys can help off and be able to try and create that fence. Now with Portis out there, you know, the floor is wide open. Now you have those lanes because if Giannis gets in trouble, he can give it to Portis, and Portis can bail him out offensively.
Let's call what it is. If Trae Young is anywhere near what he looked like last night after the injury, they're cooked. They are absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
And he's been an amazing, amazing revelation this postseason, but they have no chance.
Yeah, because Bogdanović has struggled, right?
Yep.
He hasn't played well, and that's the guy that you need to be the second scorer. You know, Gallinari comes off the bench. He's that sixth man that
Herter's
sparked.
Done a nice job,
Collins,
but,
right? Yeah. Herter's getting exploited by Middleton, man.
Yep.
Like I understand he's 6'7" and he was big in the last series because
he has sequences where he looks good defensively.
Right, right. He has active feet, live feet, but you know he can't keep up and stay in front of Middleton. Middleton's just a little bit better, and his size doesn't bother Middleton where his size bothered the Nets because he was so much bigger. I mean, Philly because he was so much bigger than Curry.
Frank in New York next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Frank, what's up, bud?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
All right. Two things. Trae Young, he's very young, as his name suggests, and he'll probably get better, but he hasn't had his foot put to the fire as of yet, and now it is, so we'll see how he reacts. And then my question, my statement to you, Bart, is that racism is what outside forces do to us, but colorism is what we do to ourselves. And you calling people plain light skin? No, my brother, no.
Oh, so you think I'm going back to the brown paper bag test? No. Listen. This is just something that's a joke amongst ourselves, right? Kobe is the first one that said it out there, and we're just saying playing light skin is not, you're not playing tough, right? You know, of course, some of the toughest guys have been light skin, but it's a joke. It's an entertainment type of ploy. We're having fun here, man. Listen, this isn't colorism amongst each other. We're saying playing light skin, and you know, that's just a funny joke that we play amongst each other. You know, the mama herself, you know, told Clarkson he went up like a light skinned brother, meaning that he came in soft. So listen, this isn't colorism. This isn't a brown paper bag. This is me having fun with my peoples, and we understand what we do and how we do it.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance.
That call was light skinned. He must be light skinned.
You're not helping me here.
Well, I was watching the old TNT thing with Ernie and stuff. You know what I mean?
How about you just call me weak? I mean, we know that. Just go. He's going on full Carlin.
Yeah, he's going full Carlin.
ESPN weak Radio sauce. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
Going up like Chico the Barge, man.
Progressive's home quote explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Up next, the Blazers have got a new head coach, but is that a good thing considering their star may not be too thrilled about it?
Phillips.
We get into it next. Bart and Han, Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Light skin.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Is it getting a little closer, maybe, that Damian Lillard might actually be trying to get his way out? I don't know if I'm there yet. But there are different little pieces of the story that seem to be popping up. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Oh,
and as always.
Don't tease me. Don't tease me, Creasy.
Today is a day for doing, Bart. And it's time for the Knicks to get it done. Brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to the Home Depot. Today's Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Let's
clarify what the story is, okay? The Blazers are hiring Chauncey Billups as their next head coach. They're probably going to announce it tomorrow. Now, it was believed that Billups was on Lillard's list of coaches that he would want to play for.
Gotcha.
But so far from the fan base, he seems to be taking heat for the hire, despite the fact that he hasn't been the decision maker in this. And a lot of it comes from an allegation back in 1997 that involved Billups when he was with the Celtics at Antoine Walker's house with a sexual assault allegation. Then there was that was back when Billups was a rookie in the league.
Yeah,
there were never criminal charges filed. There was a settlement. The fan base reacting to this and getting on Lillard about it, it feels like Lillard, considering how loyal he's been to the city of Portland,
right,
might start to look at this a little bit differently. There's an awful lot there to delve into. And, the assault part of it's one thing, but the way Lillard and the fans are interacting is a little bit different. We haven't heard for sure that he wants his way out.
Well, let me kind of just kind of talk about Chauncey, right? Because I know him. I consider him a personal friend, right? Well, not a personal friend, but an associate that you know, we have mutual respect for each other, right? We've talked on multiple times. He came on the show a lot, right? He played in Detroit. I lived in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. He is one of the best basketball minds in the game. He had a great television career where he was doing well. He stepped back from that because he wanted to be around the game. Not only has he been in high consideration for head coaching jobs, but he's also been in high consideration for executive positions as well. So anybody that hires Chauncey Billups is getting a lifelong basketball guy, a guy with tremendous basketball acumen. Now, if Dame Litter say, hey, man, I don't really want a first-time head coach, a guy who hasn't done it, you know, as Chauncey just stepped away from the booth, just stepped away from in front of the cameras, and maybe he just doesn't feel comfortable with saying, hey, I want to use the prime of my career on a guy that has never coached before, I understand that. But as far as, you know, his basketball acumen, him being a good hire, I would think that the Blazers would think this would be a hire that he would like. If you like Jason Kidd, you should love Chauncey Billups, who's a two-time champion who played the position the right way. And, you know, the other allegations, man, we haven't heard anything about that until he gets a job, right?
What I don't get about the Jason Kidd thing versus Billups is Kidd hasn't been a good head coach already. And I get that you want to maybe play for somebody that understands your position and what you're about, but that doesn't mean he's going to make you better or put you in a better situation to be successful. I don't think that he hates the Billups hire. He, from all accounts, he has a good relationship with Billups.
Right.
For me, if this is now going to start to turn into Dame changing his mind because of interaction with fans and he feels how loyal he's been to the city of Portland.
They don't appreciate
it. You can't get too caught up in what you're reading on Twitter and stuff like that from fans.
Right.
That can't be what's going to make the decision for you. Look, I still have a hard time right now, based on what we've heard from Woj, that he's going to be asking his way out of town.
Well, I think it's
based on his history.
I think it's less about Chauncey Billups and more about who the hell are we bringing in here to help me. As we believe that maybe Carmelo,
absolutely.
We believe that maybe Carmelo may be going to join one part of the Banana Boat crew and go to L.A.
Carmelo shouldn't enter the equation as far as bringing somebody in who's going to help.
No, but I'm saying Nurkic, his contract's up. Nurkic is supposed to be part of your big three. Like, well, how many people really want to go play in Portland? Yeah, they probably love McCullen and they love Dame, but if that's the case, then who are they going to attract? Especially if Golden State has a spot open, people are going to want to go to Golden State. If the Lakers have a piece open, they're going to go there. If Kawhi decides to go to Miami, then there's going to be a spot there. So you're like the third or fourth choice all the time in the Western Conference.
If he hits the market, the Knicks better get it done.
He needs to go back to Golden State, man. He needs to go to Golden State.
I don't know if I see it happening. I really don't.
That's just his hometown.
I know.
He's not jumping on a team that just won a championship. He's working on a team that barely got bounced out of the play-in tournament.
Next, can the Clippers and Hawks actually get themselves back into the series? We ask our expert in moments.
Ooh.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.